WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Morning. Happy Friday to you. Happy fun Friday. Happy summer, right? It's summer and we've got a lot that we can talk about today, and we'll have our fun Friday question of the day. But as you heard that dumb guy's voice before the show started, today is the 50th anniversary of Jaws. And as such, I went through and found every story. I'm not even sure it's every story, but I found a good amount of the stories that we have written over the years about the film Jaws, and they have all been shared out on our Facebook page. There's still a few more that are going to hit in the next couple of hours, but if you go to the WBSM Facebook page, you can read a lot of our Jaws content, including one that'll be up in a little bit, and that would be New Bedford's connection to the film Jaws. And actually WBSM's connection to the film Jaws. And because, by the way, it's not officially summer until 10:42 tonight. So keep that in mind. We're still a good amount of time away from it. But hey, it counts, right? But the movie Jaws, I think people know that I've been, I don't want to say critical of it. It's a good movie. I just think that it is overrated. And I understand people who saw it in 1975 had never seen anything like it before. But I know people who are obsessed with it, and I don't get the obsession for it. So last night, and I said, you know what? I know I'm going to have conversations about Jaws with people all day, whether it be on the air or in the office or, you know, whatever. So let me rewatch it because it's been a while. I think, I don't know, maybe like 8 or 9 years ago. Actually, it was probably maybe the 40th anniversary of Jaws, so maybe 10 years ago. I did a rewatch of all four Jaws films, which get progressively worse in terms of quality. And as you know, Spielberg didn't, you know, have much to do with them, so not surprising, but... And as a kid, I loved Jaws 3 because it was on HBO all the time and they would show it in 3D sometimes on TV. And so I was all about that movie, even though it's really bad. So I said, let me sit down and watch Jaws critically. And it's on Peacock. It's in 4K. You know, so it's like, all right, this might give me a different kind of viewing experience. It looked really good. It sounded really good. And I'll say this. It was a better movie than I remember, but still not, you know, the greatest movie of all time like people treat it to be. But I see why it was so... popular and effective at the time, because you did see a lot of stuff that had never been seen before, and a lot of, and I'm sure you've heard the stories over the years, that a lot of the tension in the film came about because the shark didn't work, the mechanical shark didn't work, so that made them have to shoot around that, and that actually heightened the tension. And in Jaws, the less you see the shark, the better. Not only because, you know, once you finally do see it, it looks super fake, especially if you're watching it in 4K, but also because it heightens that tension and anticipation and stress and fear. I'm just not a huge fan of the acting in the first half of the movie. Like, especially the first act, everything just seems way too hammy. And then the third act, I just think there's just too much time on the water. But maybe I'm just being overly critical of it because now I have to be, because I've crapped on it for so long that I've got to find something to complain about. But anyway, happy to talk with you about Jaws if you want to call up with your discussions, your memories. Maybe you saw it in the theater when it came out in 1975. Maybe you were part of what made it the first $100 million blockbuster. And then we'll talk more about Jaws as the morning goes on. But I will be less critical of it, but still don't think that it's, you know, like, I know people who this movie is their personality. And I don't get that. I also see why people were afraid to go in the water. Because, you know, something I didn't notice in previous viewings of the film is they do a really good job selling the idea that even going up to your knees could be bad news. Now, we're talking about a giant great white shark here. So I think most people would have been okay going up to, like, their waist because the shark was just too big to get that close. But the film does a good job of dropping enough of those little factoids that you say, okay. And also, I think a lot of people, because see, that's the movie that put sharks in the forefront. I don't know how much people thought about them before that film. And now look, here we are 50 years later and we are concerned. We're, in 1975, how much were people concerned about a great white shark being off the coast of Massachusetts? They talk about it in the movie. It's not a common thing. Now we get them every year. Why? Because the sharks saw the movie and said, that looks like good eating. And then they all started showing up here. No, I'm just kidding. So we can talk about that. We'll also have our Fun Friday question, which is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs. D's Hot Dogs are the sponsors of Fun Friday here on the program. And it's always fun over at D's Hot Dogs on Tarkin Hill Road in New Bedford because they've got great, first of all, not only fantastic hot dogs, but so many options for what you can put on them, including fun stuff. Like, have you had a macaroni and cheese covered hot dog? Yes, you have. Maybe you haven't gone to D's and got one, but you know when you were a kid, you put chopped up hot dogs in your macaroni and cheese. Well, now you can have that same experience on a bun at D's Hot Dogs. We also will have that Fun Friday question, but we'll also be giving away our last pair of tickets to see Cyndi Lauper at Xfinity Center on July 17th. It's the final leg of her Girls Just Want to Have Fun farewell tour. So in all likelihood, the last time she plays the Boston area. And you can still get tickets. There's tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. But we are giving away our final pair today. You could be going to the show and hearing all of those Cyndi Lauper hits. And it's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy and where you can get stuff that you can't get anywhere else. And I would recommend, you know, if you're going to spend some time in the parking lot before you go to any of these concerts that you win tickets to and you need to get some refreshments for your parking lot party, well, go to Stevie's. They've got everything you'd want for that. We can also discuss, you know, some serious things too. Fun Friday doesn't have to just be fun. We can talk about some other important things going on. I had a conversation with someone the other day. If you remember, we were talking about
Ward 3 Councilor Sean Oliver's letter to the local legislators asking that they do something about this state requirement that legal advertising be published in the newspaper to the cost of tens of thousands of dollars a year for something that nobody's probably reading. And I talked to somebody in the know and they said, listen, all of that stuff is already posted all over. So they are, in effect, just wasting money putting it in the paper if people aren't reading the paper. And I asked the other day, you know, if you still get the newspaper, call in and tell me. And you know how many calls I got saying that they still get the paper? Zero. And I know that the circulation has declined, not only because people are just less interested in newspapers, but because, in my opinion, it seems like they've made intentional moves to get people to stop buying the newspaper, raising the price, decreasing the quality of paper. Like, these are just bad business decisions. Running news that's already been on the website for a week or two. Like, these are things that you do when you intentionally want it to fail. And I don't think Gannett wants to get out of the news business. I think that it's probably, you know, very profitable for them online with online ad sales and things like that. But I just think that they don't care about the print paper anymore. And they're waiting for the chance to say, you know what, in a cost-cutting move, we are no longer going to be printing the paper. Because as it is now, I don't know if the Standard Times is printed there just yet, but many of the local, and I mean local, like Massachusetts papers, are printed in New Jersey and then driven here. How is that more efficient? How is that more efficient than running, say, one press in Fairhaven or Hyannis, as they were doing in the past, or even Providence? And you could have the biggest story in the world. You could say, I want to, you know, this big story broke and I want to get the paper printed and out to people as fast as we can. Doesn't matter. You're in the queue. And God forbid you have any changes. So the whole thing is just head scratching. The only thing I can think of is that they intentionally want the print side of the business to fail. Now, there was a time when, you know, they were not only printing their own papers, but they would print other things. So, you know, local people that start up their own little paper, or, you know, the weeklies, and then eventually the weeklies were acquired by them. All of these things, you know, printing up magazines, and they were able to find other ways to use that press when it wasn't running newspapers for an hour a day or whatever, however long it took. But all of those things have dried up as well. It's so much easier now for people to print things on their own, whether it be online through Amazon or bringing it even to Staples and just getting a bunch of copies made. You know, it seems like there was no reinforcement of the model to keep it viable. And so now, yeah, if that's the case, if that's their outlook, why are you sending tens of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money to the newspaper? You're basically at that point just subsidizing the newspaper and not getting enough in return, because as Mayor Mitchell has lamented here on the radio many times, there just isn't coverage anymore. They're not covering things anymore. You know, Frank Mulligan does a great job, but he's only one person. He can't be at everything. Anyway, 508-996-0500. If you have thoughts on that. Also, too, tomorrow is a big day personally, my son turns 21 years old tomorrow. And that's kind of crazy to think about. I feel like I was just 21 not that long ago. But it was long ago. It was 26 years ago. But I think that, you know, we were having this conversation the other day, myself and a friend, about the difference of being, you know, that age when we were that age versus being that age now. And I'm sure some of you who are older than me think it's even differently then. You know, a lot of you by 21 were married and had kids and already had started your career. When I was 21, I was like, I don't even want to move out yet. I don't want to go out and pay rent. And I think that a lot of kids today can't go out and pay rent. You know, I was just being cheap. But I think today kids can't afford to do it. So it's definitely a different world, but you know what? And also, when I was at the barbershop the other day, the conversation was about how things you used to be able to do at 18, you now got to do at 21. So this will be a fun weekend for him, and I'm sure, you know, he's not a big partier or anything, so I just want to take him out, get him his first legal drink, and say, okay, we can say we did it, and no need to make this a habit. And by the way, I don't drink that often. I know that the common misconception is that I do, but I'm just promoting the fine products I get at Stevie's Wine Spirits. All right, I got to take my first break of the morning. We'll be back in just a few moments. 508-996-0500.
A new serious COVID variant hitting the U.S., changes to the suicide hotline, and a new drug to help curb the spread of HIV.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A new COVID variant that causes a severe sore throat is now believed to make up more than one-third of COVID cases in the U.S. right now. Here's Scott Pringle.
The highly contagious variant called Nimbus has a symptom that is being referred to as a razor blade throat because it feels like swallowing razor blades. The CDC says this makes up about 37% of coronavirus cases nationwide and recently caused coronavirus surges in China and other parts of Asia. Right now, the CDC has coronavirus activity labeled as low in the U.S.
The Trump administration is shutting down the LGBTQ Youth Suicide Hotline. The Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration announced this week that the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline will stop providing services for LGBTQ youth. The agency said it was removing the Press 3 option to instead focus on all help seekers. The Press 3 option was started in 2022 to connect LGBTQ youth with trained counselors. A spokesperson for the White House Budget Office said last week it was removing the option because it's a chat service for children that embrace radical gender ideology. The FDA has approved a powerful drug shown to nearly eliminate the spread of HIV in clinical trials.
It's a twice-yearly injectable from Gilead Sciences called Yeztugo. Despite the decline in new diagnoses, 1.1 million Americans are living with HIV. The Yeztugo shot was first approved in 2022 to be used with other meds to treat HIV strains that are highly drug-resistant. It's the first in a new class of drugs that prevents HIV from replicating itself inside immune cells. Gilead's chairman, Daniel O'Day, believes it could end the HIV epidemic once and for all. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
President Trump claims Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is costing the U.S. hundreds of billions of dollars. In a post on Truth Social, Trump said Powell is, quote, truly one of the dumbest, and most destructive people in government. He added the Fed board is also complicit. A fugitive on the run for over 6 weeks after escaping police at an airport has been captured in Seattle. U.S. Marshals say they apprehended Cedric Stevenson on Wednesday after he escaped agents at the SeaTac airport while being transported to Kentucky. Stevenson faced numerous charges in Kentucky, including firearm possession and assault. Marshals say he was caught while officers were serving an arrest warrant. Former President Obama says the U.S. is moving dangerously close towards autocracy.
The former president questioned the path that he says American democracy appears to be on.
We start drifting into something that is not consistent with American democracy. It is consistent with autocracies.
Where he says one person holds absolute power. Obama says we're not there yet, but he thinks we're dangerously close to normalizing behavior like that. Obama added that he's still the hope guy and says there's a healthy outrage we should be exhibiting in terms of what's currently happening both here and around the world. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
A North Carolina woman is suing her former workplace over claims a supervisor intimidated her with a Chucky doll, the murderous doll from the Child's Play movie. She's suing Truist Bank, saying that she suffers from a fear of dolls and was traumatized into needing treatment. The woman claims the supervisor left the Chucky doll on her desk. She has since been let go from the bank and is asking for an unspecified amount. Just off the heels of the Karen Reed retrial, it was on this day in 1893, Lizzie Borden was acquitted of the murders of her father and stepmother in Fall River. The jury delivered a not guilty verdict after deliberating for just over an hour. This verdict came after a highly publicized trial, and despite evidence that suggested her guilt, Lizzie was ultimately set free.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox are in San Francisco tonight, taking on the Giants at 10:15.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Plenty of sunshine, warm today, less humid than yesterday, 83. Tonight, down to 65 after midnight. For tomorrow, partly cloudy. We stay dry, 79. More sun for Sunday, 82. I'm Mike Roberts. WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Sail away with us to the beauty of Black Island, board one of our high-speed...
And so that's not a commercial. That's me playing the Black Island Ferry jingle. Because my Fun Friday question today has to do with commercial jingles. So WPRI has a great story on their website, that's Channel 12, where they track down the folks who created that iconic jingle and kind of caught up with them and got the story of how it came to be. So I found that fascinating, and I thought maybe you might as well, so you can go check that out. But also it made me think of what are the memorable commercial jingles. And you don't have to sing them. You can just call in and tell me, and we can try to, you know, between the two of us together, figure out maybe which jingle you mean. But that's the Fun Friday question today, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. What is your favorite commercial jingle? And I think, you know, what makes it effective is it's something that is catchy, but something that is also memorable, that also tells you what it is you need to know. So, you know, it's just having a song that gets people's attention What does that do if it doesn't give you the information that you need? And a big part of a good jingle is finding a creative way to get that information in there. And the Block Island one is a great example of local jingles that really resonate and become part of the fabric of who we are. We'll play some other ones during the course of the morning, especially ones that relate to the summertime. But I mean, if you think about it, you've heard a million of them over the time. And if somebody mentions something, they mention a place that has one of those jingles, the jingle instantly pops into your mind. In fact, I go to Dash Laundromat and drop off my laundromat, my laundry. And every time I go there, I'm like, you're going to get it done at Dash. Because it's effective. It works. So that's my Fun Friday question today. What is your favorite commercial jingle? And I recommend going to WPRI and checking out the story of the creation of the Block Island Ferry. Basically, these folks who live in West Barrington, Massachusetts, so as far away from Block Island as you can get, I guess, they were toying around with the idea of writing jingles, and one of their students approached them about a possible business venture. He said, my dad has the Block Island Ferry. You should write a jingle for that. And they say, we think the timing was just right. And they just made it up. They wrote it out, and then he had two of his bandmates come over and sing it, and it all just kind of fell into place with the three of them harmonizing over a tropical beat. And it's simple, it's effective, it's direct. It has easy to remember lyrics. See, it's one thing when a jingle is just a couple of words, but when you've got a verse. I once wrote an article, and this is one of the jingles we can talk about, but I once wrote a verse about how, an article about how the Rocky Point song had a second verse that people might not be aware of. You know, everybody remembers, come with your family, come with your friends, but do you know the second verse of the Rocky Point song? And you can actually find the extended version online. So that's the Fun Friday question today. What is your favorite commercial jingle? You can either call in at 508-996-0500. You can send an app chat messages on the WBSM app. You could send an open line voicemail if you're nervous to sing your favorite jingle on the air live. You can record it and send it over. Maybe you also, you know, or maybe you have a business that has a jingle. You can record that and send that audio over too. But the best way is to just call in. And I won't make you sing, I promise. And then we'll have the video up on our Facebook page coming up where I usually put the Fun Friday question up there as a video, as a reel, so that people can respond there as well. But it's a nice, easy question on a beautiful day. Getting us thinking about some of the nostalgic things of the past and maybe even some of the things that we plan on doing this summer, like perhaps sailing away on the Block Island Ferry. I went to Block Island for the first time a couple of years ago. I had never been. And I was like, oh, I like this place. I'm going to go back. And that was like 3 years ago, and I haven't gone back since. But maybe this year I'll find some time, you know, even just for a day trip. I mean, I walked quite a bit around the island, and that was when I had just started my weight loss journey. So I'm sure now I could walk around even more. And if you're interested in going to Block Island, check out fun107.com. Michaela from Fun107 wrote a great article about these colossal cocktails they have at Ballard's. And just looking at that picture, I wouldn't mind trying one of those. All right, 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here, and we'll be back in a few moments. So the J.G. Wentworth jingle there is kind of annoying, but it led to a very funny recurring bit on Curb Your Enthusiasm. So that made it worth it. But that is today's Fun Friday question. What is your favorite commercial jingle? Some of the most memorable ones. Certainly, I love how I was talking about, you know, commercial jingles that stick out and stand out and then go into the commercial break. And the first spot that plays is Wareham Ford. They've got that great jingle. So we're getting some responses. We've got Puck in New Bedford who says all local. Pat Nod's Aquarium and Pet Supply, Glazer Glass, and Sam Giamalvo's. Yeah, we've talked about the Sam Giamalvo's one in the past, and I played that a couple months ago because we have a Fun 107 story that has that audio embedded in it, and I know people who just bookmarked that story to go back and hear that every now and then. And speaking of glass, I think Giant Glass did a great job of coming up with a jingle that all of New England can sing. And what does that do for you, right? What does that do besides make for an interesting commercial? Well, think about this. Every time somebody breaks their windshield, someone must sing to them, well, who do you call when your windshield's busted? And they know the number. Because the number is part of the song. And if you can do that, if you can get all of that important information and do what they call branding the brain, you know, getting it so that the first thought you have when something happens is of this ad that you saw. See, that's what we tell people here, you know, that advertise with us all the time. You don't necessarily catch people when they need your services. You just want them to think of you first when that service is needed. And that is what jingles do for you. They work their way into people's brains as an earworm and then make it so that that's the first thing they think of. And sometimes they intentionally annoy people because that sticks out in people's minds too. Perfect example of that is the Cars for Kids song, right? Everybody knows that song. If you walk up to any random person on the street and say, hey, sing the Cars for Kids song, I don't think you'll find anybody that doesn't know what you're talking about. 508-996-0500. Let's see if we can take a couple calls here before we go into our last break of the hour. Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Cars for Kids song, right?
Hello. Hi, you're on the air. I need you to just turn down your radio if you can.
Yeah, I'm going to right now. Okay. The newspaper, I don't know if they still do it because I have retired from there, but the newspaper used to be delivered to the schools, and as a teacher you had the choice of having the newspaper once a week, I believe it was, and you could look over what was currently going on, some of the information that was in their articles that came up, political articles, the sports page, the went through the whole thing. And I would assign assignments on it with with grammar assignments and anything that involved history, science, so the kids could research it.
Hmm. That's a good way to utilize it, yeah. I mean, I remember doing current event stuff with the newspaper.
Yes. And one of the things that did happen that the kids got a ringside seat. Unfortunately, it was a very tragic tragedy. And that was the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
I came to school. I always got to school early in the morning, get the room prepared, and have a quick assignment on the board for when the kids come in. They'd have breakfast and work on their assignment until breakfast period was over. And I would always have, what's going on in the news? We would pause, and listen to the commentators discuss what happened. And unfortunately, that was a tragedy that no TV was turned off. It was history being made right in front of us. And another thing, my principal came down to me in the classroom and says, "Hey, I have a subscription offer." So I said, "Oh yeah, to what magazine or what was it?" She says, "SI for Kids. It's a new Sports mm-hmm. Illustrated magazine that's coming out, and they're offering. I understand it's going to be all over the country. Any teacher that wants to involve that issue with the class and get the information in sports and current stars and et cetera." So I had the subscription.
Yeah, that was a good one. We there was also a weekly reader when I was in school that did a great job bringing news to kids.
But that kind of, I remember that when I was in a class, student. But that kind of had faded out. Not many teachers really were involved with it.
Right, man. All right.
But the Sports Illustrated, kids had an assignment, and they had to find the answers and et cetera. I had, like I said, if there was something like one of the athletes was brought up in, say, Poland, they would have to look up and answer questions of geography.
That's a great way to do it.
With Poland.
All right.
Yeah, and it did increase. I found that it was a better way than having what's going on. Oh, take off your cell phones and turn to this and this, and we're going to have a lesson on our cell phone.
Right.
Yeah. What a joke that is.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Okay.
You have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too.
And Mary, I was trying to get you in before the end of the time here, so.
Hey, don't worry about that.
Well, I don't want to hold you up if you got to go out for your walk. Do you want to hang on and I'll take you after the news?
Yes, I'll hang. Well, I'll call you right back.
All right. I got to get this break in, so we'll be back in just a few moments to talk more. All right, we are just about out of time for this hour. We will come back with more in the next hour, 508-996-0500. We can talk about a variety of different things. We were talking about the fall of the newspaper, the decline of the newspaper, but also the fun Friday question today brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford is, what is your favorite commercial jingle? It can be a current one. It can be an old one. It can be, reach out and